How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
Here you are in a pretty messy place. Why do you do it?
Because this is my passion, and I believe this is what God is calling me to do. That was me, 25 years ago. I was one of those little boys with no hope.
All we talk about with faith is how different we are. Mine's good, yours bad, mine says this, yours says that. And in truth, in their basic cores, if practiced correctly, a lot of faiths are pretty similar. They believe in something a little bigger than themselves and being good to other people.
Luther said, to take no pleasure in assertions is not the mark of a Christian heart. Indeed, one must delight in assertions to be a Christian at all. Take away assertion and you take away Christianity.
Moms in Ohio love issues, etc.
Mom!
I think every Christian, if they stopped and thought about it, would say, yes, everything I have is a gift from God. Even in our American society, where we are wired from birth to think about this being a meritocracy, we earn what we get, and if you get it, you earned it. Even Christians who are wired that way by their American culture, on reflection, will say, yes, everything I have, there is nothing that I have that is not a gift from God. But do we still underestimate God's generosity? And do we know why it is He is a giving God? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, April the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Brent Kuhlman will be our guest here for the first part of this hour, and then a little bit later, we'll be talking with Dr. Clay Jones of Biola University. The movie Atlas Shrugged opens, and the book upon which it is based, Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand, deserves some scrutiny, especially in an age when many conservatives make reference to Ayn Rand as one of the great thinkers of the 20th century without actually examining her philosophy, which was, at the very least, an atheist philosophy. That's coming up here in about 25 minutes. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, God Gives Himself for You. Brent, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's good to be with you again.
Brent, most Christians, upon reflection, would admit that everything they have is a gift from God. This is kind of a boilerplate for Christians. All that I have is a gift from God. Do we still, however, underestimate God's generosity?
Yeah, we do in a certain degree. And yet, at the same time, let's back up a minute. Even Christians sometimes get it wrong. They'll even think that we need to give God something. I mean, sinners are just hardwired thinking that they have to give God something to merit His favor or whatever. That's one thing we have to make clear. We still are hardwired that way as sinners. And so we really do underestimate God's gifts. Let me even be as, how should I say it? Well, let's tweak everybody even more. God gives so much that we don't even realize it. For example, Dr. Luther teaches in one of his writings that God gives Himself to us completely, totally, wholly, with all that He is and all that He has. Now, how's that tweak you?
See, that, I think, really flies in the face of how many Christians are taught to think about God, not only God giving of the blessings and the gifts, but God giving of Himself. I don't think Christians are taught to think about God giving Himself.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. It's because we think that God's stuck up in the sky somewhere and we've got to get to Him. You know, this is as old as the fall into sin. And, of course, it gets expressed in various ways in philosophy, for example, with Plato and then with Aristotle and how that was adopted in the medieval church. What I'm talking about is when you run with the Greek philosophers, they'll say that God is way up there away from us. And for God to continue to be God, he can't mess around with things down here. I mean, it's messy, you sinners in this world. It's a disaster. And so God can't move into this mess, because if he would, he'd no longer be God. So for people way down here, it's up to us to make the trek up to him if you want to be with him. And Christianity teaches just the opposite. And it's confessed in the Creed, you remember, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In one of the fragments of a Christmas sermon that Dr. Luther preached, and I'll just paraphrase it with my own words, he said that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is so much with us in the muck and the wreck of our lives that his skin smokes. In other words, that's how much he's with us.
Again, we tend to think about, even if we concede that there is some self-revelation, some self-giving of God, in that the second person of the Trinity became man for us and for our salvation, as we confess in the Creed. At the same time, we want to reserve something of God that's apart from that.
Yeah, and when you do that, you run into trouble. When you dare to protect God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three persons of this one God, if you try and protect him from giving himself completely and totally, then you don't have the God of the Scriptures. For example, you know, we'll all say, yeah, Jesus took on flesh. We're all willing to say that. But, you know, we kind of hesitate to say that God the Father gives himself to us totally and completely, and that the Holy Spirit does it. But he does. Now, I'm going to give you a quote here from Dr. Luther. This is from one of his writings when he says, God has given himself to us wholly and completely with all that he is and has. And he starts right away with, of all things, the first article of the Creed, when he says, the Father gives himself to us with heaven and earth and all the creatures in order that they may serve us and benefit us. You know, one of the ways that Dr. Luther expresses this giving God in the Small Catechism is right away in the first article. Remember in the explanation towards the very end, all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any, and you remember the words, merit or worthiness in me. He gives me everything that I have through means, physical means, in the first article. And he does it without any merit or worthiness on our part. And those words in the Small Catechism were fighting words, you remember, in the medieval church. Merit. That had to do with the whole system of salvation, didn't it? And worthiness. That was the whole medieval way of talking about, you know, you've got to be worthy to take the sacrament of the altar, or you've got to be worthy to come to the sacrament of penance, because if you weren't, it didn't work. And even in the first article, Dr. Luther is bringing this home, that God's cup of tea is that he is a giver, and he loves to give gifts, and that includes himself.
We are awash in a Christianity today, I'm sure you are well aware, Brent, a Christianity that's led by popular voices such as Rick Warren and others, who operate on the assumption that this is, that God is, he may be the kind of the guy who gets the deal rolling with kind of a generous gift, but from that point on, it is more or less quid pro quo with God. He speaks of Christian worship as for God's benefit, not for yours. He speaks of Christian worship as you coming to do something or give something to God. And it really becomes kind of a mechanical, when you do this, then God will do that. I mean, it's sounds to me an awful lot like what Luther was combating with those fighting words in medieval Roman Catholicism.
And even worse. I would say that Rick Warren and his ilk go worse, because at least in the medieval church, they talked about standing before the judgment seat of Christ and his judgment throne. And what happened really meant something. But today in the church, it's become so secularized that Judgment Day is completely irrelevant. I mean, serious about this, completely irrelevant. And what matters is like what Joel Osteen says, is you need to not necessarily be concerned about the last day or Judgment Day and how you'll fare then, but you need to worry more about your best life now. Christianity, generally speaking, in America, has become completely secularized. It's a Gnostic, secular type of religion. It's really bad. It's even worse than Luther ever encountered.
So let's begin to speak of the scope. You said Luther begins with the Father, where God gives himself wholly and completely to us and for us. The Father gives himself wholly and completely to us and for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Is that how we are to understand this?
Yes, but first, in the first article, we learn that God gives us everything through means, and by doing that, he is giving himself to us. He lives not for himself, but us, even in the first article. So, how's he completely and totally for me in the first article? Well, he gave me a mom and a dad, and my mom and dad provided for me. They bought me the Wrangler jeans and the Nike tennis shoes and the cheeseburgers and the French fries, provided for my education, etc., took me to church to hear his word. That's the first thing. First article gifts, where God the Father gives himself totally for you, for your benefit, through physical means. Notice he's always using masks, physical means. And then, of course, then we move into the second article, where God the Son, the second person of the eternal Trinity, takes on flesh. He uses physical means, the body of his human flesh, by which he undoes, repairs, redeems, recreates, vicariously, satisfactorily, as our substitute, wins our salvation through his bloody death on the cross. And why? Because, well, of what Adam and Eve did in Genesis 3 and what we have inherited from them and what we have done. Our total rebellion, which, of course, you can summarize as we're like Adam and Eve. We're not satisfied with living with a God who wants to give us gifts and give himself. We want to be little gods ourselves. We want to be deities. We're not content with being the human beings he's created us to be, and thus God sends his Son.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we still have to deal with God, the Holy Spirit, giving himself wholly for us and to us. And there's so much more. Pastor Brent Coleman is our guest. It's Friday afternoon, April the 15th.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Or Sinners Only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, April the 15th. Brent Coleman is our guest. We're talking about God, the gift giver, the self giver. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for April is called The Lutheran Difference. And the difference is not really a difference with what the historic church has taught and confessed. In fact, the Lutheran difference is the similarity, the exact similarity with what Scripture teaches, the apostles taught, and the church historic has confessed. The book is called The Lutheran Difference, An Explanation and Comparison of Christian Beliefs. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Order The Lutheran Difference, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Brent, let's move on to the Holy Spirit. I want to tie the off the bow a little bit, if we even can here, because the giving doesn't end with the incarnation. The incarnation's giving, the Father's giving, continues apace with the giving of the Holy Spirit. And I would note here that Jesus speaks explicitly about giving this person of the Trinity to us. Yeah. Sounds like we're still on the same track.
Let me just, before we talk, let me back up just a hair here. When we talk about Jesus giving himself completely and totally to us in his flesh and his dying and rising for us, for our salvation, it's in that giving then we know who the Father is and all of his good gifts then that he gives in the first article. Okay, so now let's go to the third article. Now, what Dr. Luther says is very profound here, and I'm going to just quote from him regarding the Holy Spirit. He says, "But because this grace, namely the God's favor that Christ won for us, but because this grace would benefit no one if it remained so hidden and could not come to us, the Holy Spirit comes and gives himself to us also wholly and completely. And he teaches us to understand this deed of Christ, which has been manifested to us, helps us receive and preserve it, and use it to our advantage and impart it to others, increase and extend it." You mentioned Jesus makes this promise. He does this in John 14, 15, and 16 in John's Gospel. He will bear witness to me, namely the Holy Spirit will give witness to Jesus. He will reveal everything that Jesus has done for us and for our salvation. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and he gives us the benefits that Christ won for us on the cross in the Word proclaimed, in absolution, that spoken word of forgiveness, in baptism, and in the Lord's Supper. So let's run with one of the ways that the Holy Spirit comes to us. And by the way, just so we know, in Matthew 28, you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll say more about that in a minute. But Acts 2, where Peter says that when you're baptized, your sins are forgiven and you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. You remember, Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 6, that you're given the Holy Spirit. It's 1 Corinthians 6:11. He goes on and talks about baptism in Titus 3 as being the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom God uses to save us. So this is very clear here. When I talk about baptism in connection with the Holy Spirit, that you are given the Holy Spirit, he gives himself to you entirely and completely in baptism to deliver the benefits of Christ's cross for you. Now, I want to back up to baptism, Matthew 28. To be baptized in God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, this is going to blow everybody's mind, but it's joyful. To be baptized in God's name is to be baptized by God himself, because with his name, he's there. He comes to you with his name, and he blesses you. One of the greatest gifts that God gave his people in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament and the New Testament and us today, is he gives us his name. And when he's doing his name to talk like that, he's there, giving himself.
It sounds like we not only need to rethink how we believe about this self-giving God, we need to repent of what we've believed about this self-giving God.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. We, again, sinners are just matrix because of our sinful nature that we have to do something to God, for God. We have to make a trek up to him. You know, salvation depends on our climbing the ladder to heaven. You know, the mystics in the medieval church were that way, and the mystics to this day are the same way. You know, no, it's just the opposite. God comes to us completely and totally, and he gives himself to us and for our salvation. This is how salvation is achieved. This is how salvation is delivered. God does it all. And so faith, then, to speak of faith properly, is to speak of it as something that is passive, something that is given to, where the Lord gives himself and his gifts. And I would contend, Todd, that when you recite the Apostles' Creed or when you recite the Nicene Creed, and you learn all the more of what we're talking about today, about God being the giver and giving himself for you and for your salvation, then you know God perfectly, even now.
Doesn't seem like we know God perfectly.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we know in part, then we will know in full. But to know God as the Father who created us, to know God as God the Son in the flesh of Jesus Christ, who redeemed us, and to know God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, who sanctifies us, holies us, through the word and sacraments given in the church, that in this time, before the last day, that is to know God perfectly. Because you know God not as a tyrant who's ready to crack the whip if you make one mistake and send you to hell, but rather you know God as a God who loved you so much that he created you, loved you so much as a sinner that he redeemed his creature and creation in his Son, Jesus Christ, and who loves you so much that he has holied you and sanctified you for eternal life with him. You know, in the third article, we confess that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and then what follows is very fascinating, the forgiveness of sins. And notice that this forgiveness of sins will bear fruit not only now, but also for the long haul. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the fruit that it bears is what? The resurrection of the body and life everlasting. This is what it means to know God perfectly, that he created you, redeemed you, and sanctified you, and this is where you're headed. And you've got it even now. See, part of the gift of the Holy Spirit giving himself, as the New Testament teaches, as a deposit or a guarantee of what we will see with our eyes on the last day, what we now have by faith.
Your thoughts on this? It was years ago that a fellow pastor of ours, and I'm not sure if it's a mutual friend, Tom Fast, he preached a sermon on that Pauline passage, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also now along with him give us all things?" He put it a way that has stuck in my mind all these years. And he says, when God takes on human flesh to give his life to us and for us at the cross, he bankrupts heaven. He spares nothing. He doesn't hold anything back from us. Your thoughts there?
Yes, that's brilliantly put. I love it. That's Luther's point. Because God does not leave anything behind when he comes to us to give us salvation. That's certain and that's sure. He's done it all. That's lovely.
So when we think about our daily life now, coming back to that passage from Paul, will he not also along with him give us all things? How then should we regard this God from whose hand we live day by day, Pastor Coleman?
As a giver. Again, we're back to the beginning, as a giver. And now he uses you, you who have been redeemed and sanctified. He now uses you as a gift for others. Just as the triune God descends to save us, so now the triune God uses us as his mask, as his hands, as his mouth, to descend into this wreck of a world, this total mess, to help people in the best way that we can. That may be speaking the gospel. That may be sending a contribution to those who need it in Japan. It might be helping your neighbor who needs $50 to get his car repaired, buying jeans for your kids, paying the lunch bill at school for your kids, etc. It may even be running for Congress. Don't get me started.
I won't. With only a minute here, Brent, if this reorients the way we think about how God deals with us in everyday things, should it also completely change how we think God is dealing with us on Sunday morning?
One minute. Absolutely. That he comes to you, that he's running the show, when it comes to Sunday morning, and he's the giver God. And so once he gives you his gifts, then we do give back. We give thanks, we praise, and we pray. So there is that aspect of we do, God redeems us to do something, but it's not for our salvation.
Pastor Brent Kuhlman is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, God Gives Himself for You. Brent, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to review Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged. The movie opens today, based upon that very famous book. What many people who claim Ayn Rand as a philosophical mother, if you will, fail to realize is that Ayn Rand's objectivist philosophy, well, if you're a conservative Christian, is a hard one to swallow. She herself says, nature, to be commanded, must be obeyed. She says, you can't eat your cake and have it too. Man is an end in himself, says Ayn Rand, and give me liberty or give me death. Sounds like great American philosophy, but can it consistently be believed by conservative Christians? We'll be right back.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Offended by the truth.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A predominantly black pro-life organization, Life Always, recently posted a pro-life billboard in New York City. It showed a young black girl and said, "The most dangerous place for an African American is in the womb." The ad is based on the fact that more blacks die as a result of abortion than any other cause of death. In addition, 60% of African-American pregnancies in New York City end in abortion. Unfortunately, the advertising company pulled the ad after Al Sharpton and others called it offensive. We regret the company's decision and must point out that the truth sometimes offends.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.